In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, you have the account of the 10 lepers that cried out as the Lord Jesus was going through the area of Samaria, and they healed the Lord to come and heal them. Well, he received them and he sent them off to the priest. That was the ordained manner of declaring lepers to be whole. And if you read the account very carefully, their healing didn't take place in the company of the Lord Jesus. It was while they were en route to find the priest that they were healed. One of them returned immediately after his healing and was soon found at the feet of Jesus giving thanks to the Lord. Now the Lord responded, "Where there were not 10 lepers that were healed?" Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we're bringing you the message of the gospel from our church, from the pulpit, on the subject of being thankful. Be ye also thankful. And of course, the Christian is to be showing thanks in all things, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving. And the greatest gift, of course, of God is His own Son. Our hymn today is "Thanks to God for My Redeemer." And in keeping with our message, I trust that you will have that heart overflowing with a spirit of thanksgiving for the one who purchased you with His own blood by suffering on that cruel cross that He might bring to you the gift of eternal life. We do, of course, exhort you to stay with us right through the program to the end, and we'll have a message here at the end as well for you, and I trust that you will stay tuned for the announcements concerning the ministry of our church and of our radio broadcast here. We're on the air every day, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., Monday to Friday, also Sundays, 10 a.m., and then for those who can tune in to our church by computer, you can join us live at our Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Many are doing this, and many are going to church from their own computer, joining us live for the singing and the prayer and the preaching of God's Word here at our church each Sunday. Just remember the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and you can join us Sunday by Sunday, or go there for archive sermons and all the details concerning our church and ministry. May the Lord minister today as we turn to our message. Now the hymn, "Thanks to God for My Redeemer."
Pleasant, cheerful springtime, thanks for summer, winter, fall, thanks for tears by now forgotten, thanks for peace within my soul.
Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered, thanks for what Thou dost deny, thanks for storms that I have weathered, thanks for all Thou dost supply, thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure, thanks for comfort in despair.
Colossians 3 and verse 17 is the word that we want to look at here tonight. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then back in verse 15 it says, "To which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, you have the account of the 10 lepers that cried out as the Lord Jesus was going through the area of Samaria, and they hailed the Lord to come and heal them. Well, he received them, and he sent them off to the priest. That was the ordained manner of declaring lepers to be whole. And if you read the account very carefully, their healing didn't take place in the company of the Lord Jesus. It was while they were en route to find the priest that they were healed. One of them returned immediately after his healing and was soon found at the feet of Jesus giving thanks to the Lord. Now the Lord responded, "Where there were not 10 lepers that were healed, where are the other 9? And what a beautiful sight to see that one leper in a humble spirit of thankfulness at the feet of the Lord Jesus to give him thanks. But the point is, the Lord minded that the other 9 were not thankful. He really cared. What a wretched thing to do. Take all the healing, take all the help, but show not a word of appreciation or thanks. Should this surprise us? Is it really not reflective of human nature in general? That spirit of unthankfulness, well, it's all too common. And the point to mention is that Jesus minded. It offended him that those 9 never returned to give thanks. And here in this portion of Colossians, we're given this command, "Be ye thankful." Now, the Greek word behind thankful is the word eucharistos. Simply means grateful, to show your appreciation. God's people are to be known as a thankful people. That to be our testimony. It should be the mark of all that we do, and it should set us apart from the ungodliness of the world. The world, those who are greedy, grasping, selfish, inward-looking, out for number one, thoughtless of others, well, that's the spirit of the world. But for the child of God, there ought to be in our hearts a true spirit of thankfulness. And our interest to be godly, which we have defined, is to be aligned with God. If our life is in step with God, then we will be like that one leper who returned to give thanks unto the Lord. We can certainly say that a grumpy, complaining attitude is not Christian, and it would certainly not meet this imperative command to be ye thankful. That was a short introduction. We're going to go straight to a few major points here. The problem of unthankfulness, that's the first thing to look at. The pattern of the godly who do show thankfulness, and then the power of thankfulness. So there's the problem, the pattern, and the power. If you can get those three headings, we're on our way to look at this subject tonight. Be ye thankful, and it's a necessary part of being godly. The problem of unthankfulness, and for that we're going to turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And here we will see the downward spiral of that worldly, if not apostate, and ungodly attitude of unthankfulness. And we see the hole that it digs, the problem that it creates. We read here in Romans 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." And here the Apostle Paul is describing the Gentile, ungodly, idolatrous, wicked nations of the world. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. But then you'll see the spiral downward. When they got into that attitude, obviously not willing to glorify God, not willing to give God thanks, what did it lead to? Well, it led to they became vain in their imaginations. they turn to what you would call luck, the force, karma, the gods. If you were living in Rome in the time of the Apostle Paul, it was common to speak of the gods are against you, or the gods are lining up for you. And so they turned away from the true God and they turned to all these other deities. And that because they would not give thanks to God. Unthankfulness also caused an increase of hardness of heart, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So you can see the spiral downward. They did not glorify God as God. They would not be thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and then their heart was darkened. And so we see the problem of this spirit of unthankfulness, which is the mark of the ungodly. It is a huge problem. And God, in the end, gave them over to vile affections. Now, we are told that in the last days, there will be a generation of children that will be unthankful. And they will be have all the marks and all the traits of those that are against God. Unthankfulness is often the cause of a spirit of entitlement. Give me, give me, give me, because I'm me. And when a man is unthankful, doesn't realize that he's a debtor to God and a debtor to grace, he considers himself worthy of everything that he can possibly grasp. Such are unhappy murmurers. We looked already at that spirit of murmuring in Numbers 21, where they began to complain about the desert and the heat and the food, and they wanted to think back on Egypt again. Now, God repeats that warning in the New Testament. That's not just an Old Testament phenomenon. If you go over to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 10, it says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." You can see the problem of this unthankful attitude. It leads to murmuring, grumbling, a rebellious trait, and it brings God's judgment. And God destroyed a nation. He destroyed a generation in the wilderness because of that awful attitude. Unthankfulness also leads to bitterness of heart. It means a man, a woman, or a young person living with a chip on their shoulder, as if everybody owes them. And it's really depravity at work. It's really that unthankful, unhappy, that egotistical, self-centered spirit that just digs deeper and deeper and leads to greater problems. It leads to protests. It leads to lawsuits. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul warned Christians not to go to law, not to go to judges with their difficulties and their problems. And we live today in a very litigious society. "I'll see you in court. I'll sue you for this." And very often that is that unhappy, unthankful attitude. And it leads to many hurts, to many offenses, social problems, domestic problems, and if that spirit should even develop in the church, think of the trouble that it brings. I wonder tonight, do you realize the importance of obeying this command, "Be ye thankful"? How wonderful to be amongst a thankful people, people who show appreciation. When you join them, you hear their prayers and their offering, their thanksgiving to God. What a wonderful group that becomes. An encouraging, a blessing, a positive, and a strengthening fellowship ensues. But we'll come to that when we get to the power of thankfulness. What a deal here with the pattern of the godly to show thankfulness. Now, we call this a pattern because in the history of God's people, you take the outstanding characters of the Bible and you will find that they had this spirit of thankfulness. They had this grace in their lives. Now, I want to start way back in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 4. And you will see that the worship life of Israel was really one that built into it an attitude, a ministry, yes, I think that's the best word, a ministry of thankfulness. And in 1 Chronicles 16, you have the Ark of the Covenant returned to Jerusalem. King David's on the throne, and there is now the reestablishment of worship in the city. And you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 4, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister. So I think that's the best word to use here, a ministry of thankfulness, to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And so there is built into the worship, built into the ministry of the people of God, this Levitical priesthood, and their job is to bring thank offerings, praises to God. And we will learn in this chapter that they were to do it every day. And then down in verse 7 of that same chapter, 1 Chronicles 16, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. It seems here that he wrote a psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And then if you go right down from verse 8 to 36, you have the psalm. And that is incorporated into what we know as Psalm 105. Verses 1 to 15 of Psalm 105 is this very psalm that was written by David for Asaph, and he was in charge of the Levites bringing their worship of thanks and praise. And you'll notice how it starts off in verse 8. This chapter, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Here is David's psalm, freshly written, to be given to Asaph, and it starts off with, "Give thanks unto the Lord." And you can see how God's people are to be a thankful people. This was their songbook. This was their daily ministry. If you go down to verse 28, it says, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength." Verse 34, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And so our thankfulness really is our faith that God is good. Even when we have troubles and trials, even when we have problems in this life, God is good and he is still in control. And God's people, even through their tears and trials, are to still have this spirit of thankfulness. And then verse 37, the psalm is over. It ends at the end of verse 36. And you'll notice now how they apply this. "So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required." So why go to church? I have a thank offering to bring. I have reasons to give thanks to my Lord. I have reasons to show my thankfulness unto him. And so here is this pattern built right into the liturgical worship of Israel and a ministry of thankfulness. Do you and I have that? Do we even contemplate? Do we think that way? Now, we want to know doctrine, and we want to know truth, and we want to know how to defend the Christian faith. We want to know how to answer the world and reach the lost with the gospel. But do we understand this ministry of thankfulness? Where are you on the scale of 1 to 10 on the ministry of thankfulness? Does it even register in your life? Is this something that you recognize as God's command to you? A ministry of thanks. That's very important in the Christian life. And as we look at this pattern and as we see a number of men and their ministries, we'll see that was part and parcel of their godliness. You can't call yourself a godly person if you don't have this ministry of thankfulness. If you're a downer, if you're pouring cold water, if you're discouraged and you are bitter and complaining, you've lost out with God. You've lost something with God. If when you go to pray, your prayers are just but a series of complaints, you've lost the ministry of thanksgiving unto God. Let's move now to Hezekiah. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 31. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 31. Hezekiah, of course, is one of the great kings of Israel. He is the man of prayer. He is the man who did great things on behalf of the nation. And we would certainly count him as one of the great and mighty men of God. Now, at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 31. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of free heart, burnt offerings. Now, we're not going to bring burnt offerings. We're not going to bring dead animals and bring the ashes or bring some sacrifice to God. But we turn this into a spiritual voice of thanksgiving. And you will see that in Hezekiah, when he had reason to worship God, that he commanded not just himself, but the people, that they would come with their thank offerings. And they did it. And they did it. They did it with all their hearts. Then we come to Daniel. Daniel also worshiped God with great thanksgiving. And in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23, we have again this pattern very noted here. Daniel 2 and verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. I thank thee. Now that was after the vision was made known to him, after the crisis was over, after the danger of death for the three Hebrew children. They were now, he had the answer in his hand, but he didn't feel to thank God. I'm sure one of the most disappointing things is when people ask God, pray for blessing, the answer comes in a marvelous way, and God's people fail to give thanks. I read of one of the lunar missions from NASA. I'm not sure what year it was, but when their mission was in trouble and they had men in space and things were going wrong, that they pleaded with America to pray for their astronauts in space. And God in mercy heard their prayers, and they were returned to Earth safely. But did America thank God when they got their men on the tarmac again at their landing place? Well, of course, they probably landed in the sea and brought back to base again. But when they got them back to base and gave their news reports, they thanked the team and the technology. And of course, that's what we expect from the world. We expect the ungodly, you know, when they're in a foxhole, when their life's in danger, to think of God and cry to God. But do men stop to thank God? The mark of the godly man or woman, the mark of the one who truly loves the Lord and wants to recognize God and his life is aligned with God, is that he will go out of his way to give his thanks and his praise unto God. Now, if you move over to Daniel 6 and verse 10, you will see that this was not just a once-off in Daniel's life, but in Daniel 6:10, you have this word thanks comes up again. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And we'll not get into all the details of the issues here, but that was his pattern. This was his habit. He gave thanks to God, even in the crises, even in the trouble. And this should be our habit too. Thank you for joining us on our program here today as we let the Bible speak. And the subject, of course, is thankfulness. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar who was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse, he wrote these words in his diary. "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." And you can see the spiritual nature of Matthew Henry's thinking here, that he really was a man who lived a life of trust, a life of confidence that God would supply all of his need, and that even in this shocking attack of a robber, that he was able to return thanks to God in these various ways. And above all, that he was not a robber, that he himself was not stooping to this grievous sin of snatching and stealing. And what a mercy when God works righteousness and grace within our hearts and keeps us from such evils. I trust that the Lord will lead you into that way of godliness and righteousness. Above all, that he will lead you to the cross, that he will have a new heart. We think of a robber there who was marvelously saved, the dying thief alongside Christ on the cross. And that day the Lord promised, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so there is mercy and there's grace. And we can have this spirit of thankfulness in all things, in every issue of life. And I trust that today that the Lord will minister to your heart and that he will draw you to himself today. Thank you for being a part of our program. Stay tuned now for our closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.